everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Welcome back. Hope you guys are having a nice day. Let's jump right in. It's not every day that you get hurt, but when I was a kid, it felt like every day. My mom said I was accident prone, meaning that unlike other kids, accidents seemed to occur more in my life. As an adult, I now realize it's partially due to the fact that as a kid, I had two left feet. This is kind of a fun way to say that I wasn't graceful. I was clumsy. I had two left feet. Perhaps my feet were literally too big for my body, or my body too big for my feet. Either way, while walking, I'd often trip over things. Sometimes I'd catch myself. Other times I'd fall and get hurt. What I think unites us as humans is that we all have stories of getting hurt. Think about your stories. Did you ever end up in the emergency room? Have you gotten into an accident where you broke an arm, cut a leg? What's your story? I encourage you to think about this topic and jot down some stories that you can think of. Why not write them down as a journaling exercise? Use this as a writing prompt. See if you can tell your story in English. Now, if you're missing some vocabulary, wait until the end of this lesson. We are going to cover everything you need to talk about getting hurt in English. As with all 5-minute English episodes, this one is topic specific. I like to call these lessons fluency, one topic at a time, because I create them thinking of every possible word related to a specific topic, including phrasal verbs, collocations, must-know vocabulary, everything that you'd need to have a real conversation with a native speaker. These lessons are advanced. I won't lie. This is an advanced listening exercise, but that's why it's short. You can get the transcript, definitions of the 20-plus challenging words and phrases, exercises, and quizzes to make sure you master the terms you hear today, all by signing up to Season 3 or all premium content. If you sign up, you'll also get the chance to tell your story and get it corrected by me. So check it out. You'll find the links to Season 3 and all premium content in the episode notes. One last thing before we begin. The story you're about to hear is 100% real. We should all share our stories. I'll go first. Getting hurt isn't fun, but it's always a story. Here's mine. A few weeks ago, my family went on a trip to Brazil. Normally when we go, it's winter there, and we celebrate an event called Festa Junina, or the June Festival. Our family dresses up in plaid, we paint our faces, sing, dance, and eat canjica, a famous Brazilian corn pudding. This year, the family decided to roast marshmallows. And to make it the real deal, a mini bonfire was built in my sister-in-law's front yard. It was pretty magical. All the kids were thrilled to stand by the flames and watch as their white marshmallows turned golden brown. Meanwhile, I was on my phone, taking pictures, trying to capture all of their happy faces in that orange light. Then suddenly, while making my way around the fire, I walked into something sharp. I bent over to clutch my foot and realized that my toe and the top of my foot were bleeding profusely. Profusely is an adverb that means abundant or in an excessive manner. My foot was bleeding profusely, Blood was gushing out. I like to pretend I'm cool and collected. But when it comes to blood and injuries, I freak out. I don't faint, but I get sort of panicky. In English, we have a term for someone like me, a wuss. Wuss refers to someone who lacks courage or toughness. For example, if you go to an amusement park and are too afraid to go on a roller coaster, I guarantee your friends will say, "Oh, come on, you're such a wuss." I was a bit of a wuss. I had a hard time looking at my bloody foot. And for good reason. The skin from my toe had split right down the middle, revealing the tissue and even the bone on the inside. I quickly pinched the two flaps of skin together and looked around. What in the world had I run into? Near the bonfire on the ground was a giant machete. Someone had used a machete to chop wood for the fire, and I was the unfortunate one who walked into it. At that moment, Lucas's cousin Elida, who is a doctor, arrived. She was wearing a plaid shirt and a straw hat, ready to party. And unfortunately, she didn't get to. The timing for me, though, was impeccable. She examined the injury closely, MacGyvered a little tourniquet out of some fabric to stop the flow of blood, and then told me it would need stitches. She would need to sew my skin back together. Talk about a buzzkill. Instead of partying, we made our way to the hospital. As a full-time job, Elida works in a hospital that attends a native Brazilian indigenous group called the Tupi Guarani. In her time at the hospital, she's cured big infected spider bites, done blood transfusions, and even amputated limbs. One thing she's found peculiar is that the natives don't show signs of pain. They don't whine if they have third-degree burns with blisters, cry if they sprain an ankle, or even flinch when getting a splinter removed. That really put my situation into perspective. Not only did I have quick medical attention, I didn't need to call an ambulance, I hadn't torn a ligament or dislocated a shoulder, there was no concussion from a head injury, I, like the natives, needed to suck it up. And I did. I sucked it up. In English, cuts that are superficial, on the surface, are called scrapes or scratches. When they're deeper, we call them a wound. Mine was very clearly a wound. When we got to the hospital, there wasn't a wheelchair or crutches available, so I hopped on one foot all the way to the entrance. They checked me in, examined my ID card for quite some time, and then I hopped through the waiting room, passing many natives along the way. A few had broken some bones. They were wearing casts. Or perhaps they had fractures. I guess it's hard to tell without seeing an X-ray. A teenager sitting in the corner was wearing a sling and had scrapes and bruises on his face. I didn't want to stare, but he also might have had a black eye. If he had gotten in a fight, he'd clearly lost. There was an open door on the left side of the waiting room. We walked in, and I sat down on the hospital bed. Lucas's cousin, still wearing her plaid shirt and straw hat, cleaned my wound thoroughly with alcohol or perhaps antiseptic. All I know is that it burned. She then numbed my toe with local anesthesia or a local anesthetic. And with careful precision, she gently stitched my toe up. After she was done stitching me up, she wrapped my toe and foot in gauze, attaching it tightly with medical tape. She bandaged me up so that the wound would be protected from bacteria and heal without infection. She then told me to clean it twice a day and take some over-the-counter pain meds as needed. Those, of course, don't require a prescription. The following morning, my family stopped by the pharmacy to pick up some Band-Aids, gauze, medical tape, antiseptic spray, and pain medicine. I wasn't in a lot of pain, but my foot was swollen, so I avoided putting weight on it, and I iced it with an ice pack when I sat. When walking, though, I had a limp. When the pain subsided, the swelling also reduced, and the soreness went away. In just 10 days, I was able to remove the stitches. I'm sure there'll be a scar in the future, but that's all right. It's part of the story. Now, we missed the party that night, but I'll never forget the bonfire, the machete, and the trip to the hospital in the middle of an Indigenous village. According to NSC, the National Safety Council of the U.S., since 2013, the most common fatal injury has been poisoning, partially due to the opioid epidemic. Other preventable injuries include motor accidents, suffocation, drowning, burns, overexertion, bug bites and stings. By far the most common non-fatal injury is falling, from tripping or slipping. So watch your step, hide toxic chemicals, learn how to swim, wear lots of bug repellent, and yeah, be careful. Ready to tell your story? The other day I was at my parents' house, and we spent a long time chatting about our injuries. Every injury, every scar has a story, and I bet you remember some of yours. At my mom's dinner table, everyone had a story to share. My mom told the tale of when she stabbed her foot with a pitchfork and then stuffed the hole with dirt so that her parents wouldn't find out. That night when she took a bath, the bathtub filled with blood. They found out. My brother recalled spraining his ankle when he landed awkwardly on it while jumping on a trampoline. He's had issues with that ankle ever since. My aunt, and this is the worst one, she flew off the handlebars on her bicycle and landed on her teeth on the sidewalk. Ugh, so gross. Are you accident prone? Do you get hurt often? What about when you were a kid? Look at your scars, and then I hope you feel inspired to tell your story. If you want to tell your story and have it corrected, if you want the definitions and images of all of the key vocabulary shared in this lesson, exercises and quizzes to master those terms, and so much more, be sure to sign up to premium content. I can't think of a more effective way to build your vocabulary. The link for premium content and season 3 can be found in the episode notes. Let's hear the audio one more time. Getting hurt isn't fun, but it's always a story. Here's mine. A few weeks ago, my family went on a trip to Brazil. Normally when we go, it's winter there, and we celebrate an event called Festa Junina, or the June Festival. Our family dresses up in plaid, we paint our faces, sing, dance, and eat canjica, a famous Brazilian corn pudding. This year, the family decided to roast marshmallows. And to make it the real deal, a mini bonfire was built in my sister-in-law's front yard. It was pretty magical. All the kids were thrilled to stand by the flames and watch as their white marshmallows turned golden brown. Meanwhile, I was on my phone, taking pictures, trying to capture all of their happy faces in that orange light. Then suddenly, while making my way around the fire, I walked into something sharp. I bent over to clutch my foot and realized that my toe and the top of my foot were bleeding profusely. Profusely is an adverb that means abundant or in an excessive manner. My foot was bleeding profusely. Blood was gushing out. I like to pretend I'm cool and collected. But when it comes to blood and injuries, I freak out. I don't faint, but I get sort of panicky. In English, we have a term for someone like me, a wuss. Wuss refers to someone who lacks courage or toughness. For example, if you go to an amusement park and are too afraid to go on a roller coaster, I guarantee your friends will say, "Oh, come on, you're such a wuss." I was a bit of a wuss. I had a hard time looking at my bloody foot. And for good reason. The skin from my toe had split right down the middle, revealing the tissue and even the bone on the inside. I quickly pinched the two flaps of skin together and looked around. What in the world had I run into? Near the bonfire on the ground was a giant machete. Someone had used a machete to chop wood for the fire, and I was the unfortunate one who walked into it. At that moment, Lucas's cousin Elida, who was a doctor, arrived. She was wearing a plaid shirt and a straw hat, ready to party. And unfortunately, she didn't get to. The timing for me, though, was impeccable. She examined the injury closely, MacGyvered a little tourniquet out of some fabric to stop the flow of blood, and then told me it would need stitches. She would need to sew my skin back together. Talk about a buzzkill. Instead of partying, we made our way to the hospital. As a full-time job, Elida works in a hospital that attends a native Brazilian indigenous group called the Tupi Guarani. In her time at the hospital, she's cured big infected spider bites, done blood transfusions, and even amputated limbs. One thing she's found peculiar is that the natives don't show signs of pain. They don't whine if they have third-degree burns with blisters, cry if they sprain an ankle, or even flinch when getting a splinter removed. That really put my situation into perspective. Not only did I have quick medical attention, I didn't need to call an ambulance, I hadn't torn a ligament or dislocated a shoulder, there was no concussion from a head injury, I, like the natives, needed to suck it up. And I did. I sucked it up. In English, cuts that are superficial, on the surface, are called scrapes or scratches. When they're deeper, we call them a wound. Mine was very clearly a wound. When we got to the hospital, there wasn't a wheelchair or crutches available, so I hopped on one foot all the way to the entrance. They checked me in, examined my ID card for quite some time, and then I hopped through the waiting room, passing many natives along the way. A few had broken some bones, they were wearing casts, or perhaps they had fractures. I guess it's hard to tell without seeing an X-ray. A teenager sitting in the corner was wearing a sling and had scrapes and bruises on his face. I didn't want to stare, but he also might have had a black eye. If he had gotten in a fight, he'd clearly lost. There was an open door on the left side of the waiting room. We walked in, and I sat down on the hospital bed. Lucas's cousin, still wearing her plaid shirt and straw hat, cleaned my wound thoroughly with alcohol or perhaps antiseptic. All I know is that it burned. She then numbed my toe with local anesthesia, or a local anesthetic, and with careful precision, she gently stitched my toe up. After she was done stitching me up, she wrapped my toe and foot in gauze, attaching it tightly with medical tape. She bandaged me up so that the wound would be protected from bacteria and heal without infection. She then told me to clean it twice a day and take some over-the-counter pain meds as needed. Those, of course, don't require a prescription. The following morning, my family stopped by the pharmacy to pick up some Band-Aids, gauze, medical tape, antiseptic spray, and pain medicine. I wasn't in a lot of pain, but my foot was swollen, so I avoided putting weight on it, and I iced it with an ice pack when I sat. When walking, though, I had a limp. When the pain subsided, the swelling also reduced, and the soreness went away. In just 10 days, I was able to remove the stitches. I'm sure there'll be a scar in the future, but that's all right. It's part of the story. Now, we missed the party that night, but I'll never forget the bonfire, the machete, and the trip to the hospital in the middle of an indigenous village. According to NSC, the National Safety Council of the U.S., since 2013, the most common fatal injury has been poisoning, partially due to the opioid epidemic. Other preventable injuries include motor accidents, suffocation, drowning, burns, overexertion, bug bites and stings. By far the most common non-fatal injury is falling from tripping or slipping. So watch your step. Hide toxic chemicals, learn how to swim, wear lots of bug repellent, and yeah, be careful. Ready to tell your story? Well, that was fun, wasn't it? There is one last word that I just couldn't fit into the story, but it's so common, I just gotta mention it. To stub one's toe. You know when you wake up in the morning and you're walking to the bathroom and it's still dark inside your house and you hit your toe against a wall or you kick it against maybe a chair or a table? We say you stubbed your toe. I can't think of another situation where we use the verb to stub, but when it refers to that hitting of the foot, we use it all the time. It's a horrible feeling. I hate stubbing my toe. There's one last thing I just thought of, thinking of stubbing my toe, and that's just a paper cut. A horrible thing that you get when you're playing around with paper. Of course, those things don't require a hospital. Usually you can just reach into your first aid kit and fix it on your own. Thanks again for listening. Be sure to check out the episode notes for those links to premium content and season 3. Otherwise, I'll see you here for the last episode of season 3, episode number 150. It'll be posted shortly. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.